Welcome to Unplug Podcast, where Jesus is at the center of every conversation. Join us as we explore the teachings of Christ and the impact on mental health, spirituality, and everyday life. Discover how faith in Jesus can help provide hope, healing, and purpose in a world full of challenges. Subscribe now on YouTube and your favorite podcast platforms to stay connected to the Unplug community. Unplug from the world and plug into Jesus.
Amen, amen, and amen.
Welcome, Mental Health Warriors, to Unplugged Podcast. We appreciate you so much. We interrupt our normally scheduled filming to give you a heartfelt message in regard to the situation in Gaza. Most recently, Madonna, legendary art recording artist Madonna, she shared a heartfelt message on X, and she gave an open letter to the Pope in hopes that he would go to the Gaza Strip and be let in despite the blockade that Israel has placed in order for aid to be delivered.
Amen, amen. And so it reads, she wrote to the Pope, she says, "Most Holy Father, please go to Gaza and bring your light to the children before it's too late. As a mother, I cannot bear to watch their suffering. The children of the world belong to everyone. You are the only one of us who cannot be denied entry. We need the humanitarian gates to be fully open to save these innocent children. There is no more time. Please say you will go. Love, Madonna." Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Pastor, talk about what you're feeling with that.
Well, I definitely understand what she is saying. When you brought this conversation to me, you talked about how he is a head of state and how him being denied entry and also him being head of a spiritual religion, how if they denied him, it would be almost like an act of war. And that is one of the focal points of, as to why he cannot be denied entry. I truly do believe that there's genocide going on out there.
Absolutely.
I believe that there's famine, starvation, innocent people, children, bombs being dropped on. You look at the malnutrition. You look at all of those. I think it's 1,000 or more trucks that's just stopped, filled with aid, that's not allowed to get in there. And as Christians, we are called to be new Israel. And so I ain't gonna go too far into it, but that a lot of Christians here in the Western Hemisphere, and some may even say our new Pope because he is American, that some people are locked in lockdown solidarity with the nation of Israel because we are Christians and we know the history of the nation of Israel and how our God used them as an avenue to show us who he is. But I want you to know that that is the state of Israel. That is not the people of Israel. We are the people of Israel. The Bible says those who believe on him, they shall be children of God. And so I'm not sure if the Pope will go. I think if he does go and he is denied entry because they don't really want the world to know what's going on, it's just going to open up a can of worms. But there is an organization that has been able to get aid in. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. World Central Kitchen is the only organization that we are currently aware of that is able to deliver aid without being impeded. And even the bulk of their supplies have not always made it to its intended destinations, but they're able to get some through. I encourage every person. I don't want this to be political. I want this to be out of a Christian heart. You don't even have to be Christian to not want to see babies suffering. And you don't have to be, you could be Jewish, you could be Zionist and believe that you deserve that land, but still not want to see babies starve to death. So this is not political. This is a humanitarian relief effort. If you don't believe that people should be starving, if you don't believe that their wounds should lead to death slowly without antibiotics, without any anesthetics, you should be contributing in any way that you can, because death and poverty and disease is not meant for us in the kingdom.
Amen.
We can band together. We can do more. And I encourage you to do so. Please click that link below and make sure that you're putting your heart and your intentions and your money where your heart is.
Amen. 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 So today is a special podcast.
Yes. Yes. Today is a very special podcast. We have a phenomenal guest. I would like to take time to make sure that I introduce you properly, Mental Health Warriors, to Vivi Saunders. She is a mother, she's a grandmother, she's an entrepreneur, she's a recording artist, she's an author, she's a mental health enthusiast, and most importantly, she is the proud owner of Unity Support Network, where she is taking all of her energy and efforts and pouring it into the community to support those that have mental health illnesses. And also those that are struggling with poverty, those that are single women that are trying to provide for their families, but just need a little help. So she's here to not only help us connect with her and make her connections known to the mental health community, but also to make sure that everyone knows that there is a resource out there for the community if you're in need. So please welcome Vivi Saunders.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Wow, that's such a nice introduction. And I just want to thank you so much. I'm honored to be here and part of Unplugged. It is my honor and my duty. I just want to say a shout out to what you just spoke about, you know, to the children in Gaza. But, you know, the second greatest command that we all have on this earth is to love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. And really, we should all be given. It shouldn't be about, you know, nationality, race, religious, or anything. We should be following the word of God. And that's love thy neighbor as thyself. If you do that, there's no greater command than that. Love him with your whole heart, might, and soul first, God. And then love thy neighbor as thyself, the second commandment. After that, there's no other thing that matters. So I want to thank you for that introduction. And I'm also a minister. I just want to let you know that God is everything to me. And I will definitely be clicking that link that you just showed. So thank you for that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We appreciate that in advance. We are one family under God. And we appreciate any and everyone that wants to contribute to making sure the family is good.
Amen.
Amen. And we thank you. We welcome you here. We love that you came to shed your light and your love for Jesus on this platform. But we definitely want to learn a lot more about you. So, Vivi, I'll start by asking you the most basic question.
Okay.
Tell us about how you found God.
Well, you know, that is a good question. I actually found God through tragedy. I remember I was 9 years old and I used to babysit for this lady. I lived in New York, grew up in New York, and I lived in the projects, and I lived on the 17th floor. And I used to babysit for a lady on the 14th floor, and her children were 3 years old, 4 years old. I just loved them to death. And the oldest, his name was Mark, 6 years old. What happened was, unfortunately, these three children were murdered by the mother's boyfriend, and they were all in their 20s at the time. I'm 9 years old. So two of the little girls got thrown out the window, and the little boy got stabbed. That's how I met God, because I remember laying in the bed. I'm 9 years old, and I'm looking at the cloud in disbelief, because I never met evil. That was meeting evil for the first time. So with meeting evil, I met God too, okay? So I remember looking at the sky, and I looked at the sky, and I saw a cloud. It looked like a hand that just came down and touched my heart. It was the warmest feeling I ever had. And I knew that it was something else out there, supernatural, something good for me. And that warmed me so much that it actually eased me, eased my pain. And then I started realizing there's an upper being, something over us and something above us. So I started seeking them out, you know, after getting through all the tragedy of that, after the funerals and everything. Even then at the funeral, I cried, but I felt warm, like something was always with me. And then I actually met him about age 12 in the real, through the word of the Bible, learning who he was. But I always felt he was with me. But that's how I met God. When you go through a tragedy and you get through it and he bless you through it like that, and you get the warmth of him, he is so real. He actually takes care of your pain and gets you through the pain, and he blesses you. And then learning the Bible more, when I learned about everlasting life and resurrection, I just got comforted to know that those little kids that I saw murdered, you know, actually saw, you know, experienced that, I will see them again. I know the truth, and the truth has set me free.
My God.
Jesus.
You know, Vivi, you know, tragedy and things like that often connect us to God. And this particular podcast, we emphasize on divinity and also mental health. And I had a question for you that maybe only you can answer. You gave us, and it could be the same thing that you just talked about, but what have you been through that connects you to the mental health community? What personal experiences that you have with mental illness or mental health that connects you to this community?
Right. So moving forward, what actually connect me to the connection why I'm giving back right now is personal experience. Unfortunately, I was in a abusive situation that took my life, actually, to took me to hiding. Back then, back in the days, they used to call it battered women shelter, right? Mm-hmm. But nowadays it's called, you know, it's called domestic violence or whatever. But you still, when you're at a point of about to lose your life, you have to go into hiding. So I had to go into a hiding situation, which is homelessness, which took me to the area of mental health, because during that whole process, it brought on some depression, some anxiety, which is all we know. All this is part of mental health, anxiety, depression, and the things that we have to get through. And I was 19 years old at that particular time. Okay. So by me having to be in that environment, it definitely weighed heavily on me mentally. And it also, you know, had me facing some homelessness at the time as well. So I was able to get through that and survive through that. I was actually homeless for 3 months, and I met many of the women there who experienced, unfortunately, similar or worse things. And I realized that mental health is real serious. It is real. It comes in all kinds of shapes, forms, and fashion, and it comes with different aspects of life. It don't have to necessarily, my case was, you know, abusiveness, battered or homelessness, but it could be just depression and anxiety. It could just be simple things that just make you feel like you cannot cope anymore.
Mm. Wow. Jesus.
Thank you for sharing that.
Your transparency that you're offering here is just, it's so wonderful for us to be able to engage with. And I'm so grateful that you're willing to share your story.
Thank you. I'm so free. God set you free when you learn the truth.
and that's where I was about to go to next, because despite what you just told us you've been through tragedy with seeing children pass, you've been through tragedy in your own self with an abusive relationship. And I happen to know you personally. I happen to know your character. And I'm so grateful to know for a fact that when you see suffering, when you see hurt, you find it a personal responsibility for you to do something about it. And you've certainly been there for me in that way. So I'm so grateful. I truly am. Now, about you being free, I happen to know for a fact that once upon a time, you were in the corporate America space. We've labored together in that same space. I know that as of now, you are free from corporate America. So tell us a little bit about what inspired your exit from corporate America and you being this strong, independent entrepreneur for your own business.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, sometimes we know when God puts a calling on our life, you know, yes. And I decided, you know, to, he spoke to me and told me, okay, now that I've got you in a place and a position, what is your next move? What do you want to do next? Because I'm calling you. And I said, whatever you want me to do. And I prayed about it. So that's when I decided to go to Bible college and become a minister. So I left corporate America the first time for 2 years to go to Bible college, Caris Bible College in Washington, D.C., to become a minister. And I realized during that time, that was the most, I'm going to say, rewarding time in my entire career, my entire life. I've been a financial advisor for over, 25 years and been giving back that way. But when I left corporate America the first time to become a minister, that was the most rewarding anything that I ever could do for my life. In that transition, when I was going through that transition, it grew me closer to God, because when you're sitting under the Bible for 4 hours every day, just the Bible, no other books, it's going to get inside of you. You're going to learn. And when I decided to go back to work after graduated in Bible college, that was in my calling. So I came up with an exit plan and I said, well, Lord, I know that I cannot just jump out here. I have faith in you. And he said, use godly wisdom. So I decided to, at first, get my money together and start a trucking company. I bought an 18-wheeler and I put a drive in it and I got a contract with J.B. Hunt. And I decided to give corporate America a resignation. And I gave the resignation with an exit plan. So that's how I actually decided to get out, because my calling for the kingdom was to do kingdom work. And kingdom work.
Oh, we were just affirming that. Okay?
I'm sorry, I didn't want to continue.
Please, please continue.
And you know that, because me and you started talking, Jasmine, I decided to go ahead and get kingdom work to give back what I only thing I knew I had in my hands, and that was financial literacy. So I decided to give that back to the community for free and started a little podcast and a little free entity where anyone who want financial advice to the community, especially the working mom, the single working mom that was struggling, that was a calling for me. Being in that space made me get a deeper desire to do more. It just wasn't enough for me. So I decided to move out Florida following the Holy Spirit. There was an invitation and I came in to start a peer support agency where I helped the homeless and I helped all those who needed coming out of jail, mentally ill, in the mental ill space. My company is a behavioral health company to help the homeless and to help those who need it the most. And it's called Unity Support Network.
I love it. You know what? So what is your goal with the foundation that you built? I know you've listed a whole lot of things that you do, and those are goals within itself. You know, homeless, you know, behavioral, all different types of stuff, you know, financial empowerment. But what is your ultimate goal with the foundation that you've built?
To bless as many people as I can to find housing, to find jobs, to get them educated. So what I did is I decided to volunteer my services and I created a financial literacy program, and I decided to offer it to the Salvation Army, and they accepted my program. So I'm teaching the women there financial literacy. In the process of teaching them the financial literacy, I'm inviting them come to my peer support agency because they are all jobless and homeless, so that I can help them find jobs and put them in homes. And this last couple of meetings that the Salvation Army is offering me partnership to come and do it on an ongoing basis. So I'm going to be working with their counselors and their therapists to help, because I'm considering myself a peer. Okay, I've been where these people are at, and they need the help the most. So that's what I'm doing. That's how I'm going to give back. Also, I'm praying that God will allow me to create housing. Of course, that takes money. And right now, with everything that's going on in the administration, Trump administration, all the cuts and everything that's coming on, is a little struggle. But I'm going to fight hard to create housing, affordable housing, because so many women and children are homeless, and that's what's making them mentally ill. When you have no place to go and you're on the street and you don't know how you're going to get your next meal, it makes you want to check out. It makes you say, where is God, right? What's going on here? And a lot of the times these women are homeless by no fault of their own. They either lost their job or the rent went up too much so they can't afford it on their minimum wage job. So then they lose their place. So my goal is to, I know I can't eradicate it. I like to use that word eradicate. But like one step at a time, one seashell at a time, one person at a time, if I can help get out of that situation, that's my life calling.
I can't thank you enough for following the Holy Spirit in the way that you have to make such a beautiful impact in the kingdom, to make the world a better place. Everyone on this platform right now has experienced homelessness, has experienced a challenge with their mental health, and I truly believe that when it has personally touched you, you want to labor in the faith to be able to help others not experience what you went through. It's an empathetic response, but you have to do so with the anointing of the Most High. And you most certainly, I can attest to, are a woman of God that has that anointing.
Thank you.
So thank you. I mean that. Thank you.
Can't do it without him. It's no way. Can't do it without him. Ooh,
no way. So Vivi, your story is so interesting. So, because I was going to ask you, my follow-up question was, the work that you're doing initially with the Salvation Army, it was like pro bono. It was like you just serving and giving.
Volunteer my services.
And now they want a partnership. They want to partner with you. And here's the thing. You don't even have a clinical background. You seem like it'd be a numbers cruncher. You're talking about financial literacy, and you have a behavioral health organization. So how did that come about? I mean, I know that you say you're a peer and you live these things, saw these things, but some people like me and Jasmine who don't have that clinical background, we didn't go to school for to be a psych or psychologist or anything like that, you know, how did you enter into that space, or how did you get accepted into that space?
I followed the Holy Spirit. I put myself there. Okay, so what ended up happening when I came to Charlotte, I went to a peer support class. My daughter, she had she's helping pregnant women, that you know, teenage pregnant women. She had was awarded because she's actually was in a social work field, and she was here and she was working with teenage pregnant women, helping them, especially those women, you know, that's on drugs and trying to make sure these babies come out healthy. So I was giving her some insight. We was talking together, and I decided to go to. I told her I wanted to do something. I don't know what God, but God wants me to do something in His space, because I had Kingdom Health and Wealth where I was helping the single moms with their financial literacy and everything. But it wasn't satisfying enough. I need to do more, because more is so much more is needed. So I decided when I went to the class, the Holy Spirit hit me. I said, you know what? I'm going to open up me a peer support agency. And then I did my research and I looked into it and I got my certification. And then I applied to see if Medicaid would accept me, and they accept me. And I applied to Blue Cross Blue Shield and all the providers, and they accepted me. And now I'm with Behavior Health, where the peers, I hired a couple of people to peer support, to have their certificate, that's bringing in clients off the streets to help them, especially the mentally ill, to get them, you know, place, housing, jobs. We know everywhere they can get food and clothing from, the things that they need the most. That's how I actually got started. It was a divergent. It was a calling from God. Mm. And I know it was a calling, because I'm a financial person. You know, I'm like, what in the world? How did I end up here? You know, but I know why I end up here, because it's a desire in my heart to help, and God saw where He saw fit that I would be needed the most. And to me, it's just the peer support agency is one area. I want to try to. I was talking to Jasmine a few months ago. I want to try to create housing, so I went and purchased some land. I could get at least 2 or 3 houses on it. I'm gonna put the homeless in there. I'm gonna keep going. You know, I'm gonna keep going until God, you know, until He just opened up the doors where I can help as many people as I can, because it's a suffering going on right now. I know what you were saying earlier about Gaza and how they're not getting the food in and the medicines and everything. It's unfortunate that even in the U.S. that is going on. It's like, you know, it's just a lot of the kids are not getting the right nutrition, and there's so many homeless people all over the United States, but it's especially in the bigger cities, but everywhere. And it's getting worse and worse, you know. And then the mentally challenged, you know, you're going to be mentally challenged when you're going through poverty and homeless and stuff. Mm-hmm. The mentally challenged is just getting an X on them, a mark, and send them away or throw them in jail. It's not fair. You know, to me, it's not fair. You know, these are God's people. We are all God's people, and they are our neighbor. And I believe in that second command, love thy neighbor as thyself. So I'm going to give my heart to everybody, but especially to those who need it the most.
Absolutely.
You brought a real believer on the pod.
I'm playing with that at all. The one thing about Phoebe that I know is she operates through faith. She does not move unless the Holy Spirit tells her to move. And when that's what it is, that's what it is. Amen. We were working together in corporate America. She comes and said, I'm going to Bible college. I said, well, hallelujah. I'll be there when you graduate.
Sure did. She was right there 2 years later.
Whatever God said, it is.
I was actually told I was losing my mind. Somebody told me, you're losing your mind. You're going to give up that high, good-paying job in corporate America. You're going to just to go to Bible college. Why don't you just sit down and take some classes? I was like, that's not what God told me to do. I'm going to do what God tells me to do.
And I hope you don't get mad at me for sharing this, but they actually offered her more to stay, and they kept offering her more because Phoebe's amazing. First of all, when you work unto the Lord, God blesses.
Thank you.
Amen. It gets to the point where these companies, these businesses, these affiliations, they can't they can't see operating without your presence there, right? Because God has blessed your presence. So when she kept trying to exit, that, oh, wait, we'll give you more. We'll give you more money. You sure? You sure? And I was like, you better congratulate her. It's going to remain the same. This is what God told her to do. And that was,
she was the only one that was positive about me going to Bible college out of everybody, you know.
No, yeah. When you said it, I knew that's what God told you to do. And I said, oh, yeah. I got nothing else to say, and, but congratulations.
And typically when it's like that, that's when everybody wants to use. Everybody wants to use you, except for the Lord. They want to use you. They yeah, they don't want the Lord to use you. They want to use you.
They want a different job, but a different title. Like, yeah. I was like, y'all better.
And I'm sure God blessed you even more with all of those temptations to stay and incentives to stay.
Oh like, yeah.
Every new offer was God saying, "Okay, that's a whole another level of trust." They done added a few more dollars. Yep. Oh no, let's add a few more dollars. Oh no, the answer is no.
The answer was no.
I'm in Bible college. And, what did you get? A biblical studies degree? What did you get?
I got a biblical studies degree, a minister's license. I'm licensed in the state of Florida, state of Washington, D.C., you know, the priest okay. Were. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I guess it's equivalent to like associate's degree because it was a 2-year. If I would have stayed longer. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I had to go to Colorado, and I was like, okay, Lord is calling me back out now. And I'm so glad I did, because it led right up to me being a CEO of a peer support agency that's now getting recognized, called Unity Support Network, and I'm so very grateful for that.
Amen. Well, God bless you.
We are grateful for you, for the work that you're doing, for the sacrifices you've made, for listening to the Holy Spirit when everyone told you it was a bad idea. We are grateful for you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Truly.
Yes,
so, and please continue.
No, I was saying the songs that I wrote, I got 10 songs, and two of them made, a couple of them made radio right now. And the songs that I wrote, wrote based on my life experience. And Jasmine, we could, you know, I'm not a singer. I'm gonna put it out there. But I love God, and I like to use my voice. So I create my own beats and my own words to the songs, and I just put it together.
What don't you do? She making beats and building homes and all that type of trucking stuff. Lord, you know, about a real superwoman.
That's
why you like superwoman.
No, thank you. Thank you. It is nothing like, but thank you so much. But the songs are doing good. And then he put it on my heart to write self-help books. And that's the book I'm going to use, How to Overcome Anxiety, to this community that I'm working with, because they need it. Anxiety is really the kind of anchor of mental health. A lot of times it starts with you're scared or fearful, or, you know, what anxiety is. And then the next minute they want to put you on Zantac because you're telling them you're nervous, you're going to lose your job. Next minute they're going to pop you a pill. But, you know, how you overcome anxiety is really through faith and through God and the help of God. But that does take work and practice. And even if you do have to take some medications to get you through it, work on the faith and it'll minimize it a lot, you know. So I'm trying to get that out now. After the financial literacy course, I'm going to work on an anxiety, how to overcome it, because it's real exercise, real breathing techniques, everything. Because I went to like what you said, I went to like psychiatrists and therapists and asked about their techniques. I studied it, I Googled it, I AI'd it, everything, and I got all the information and I put it together. And I want to help people to use it, because a lot of times when you go to your therapist or your psychiatrist or whoever you go into, a lot of times they just want to know how you're doing. Then give you another prescription, kind of like, you know, they don't put God in it. They don't put getting you free, you know, how to get free in it. So I think I'm going to bring that. That's what God is putting on my heart next to do. And I'm praying that it all works out.
I love that. And I've personally benefited from reading your books. I thank you so much for, again, the heart that you have and the way that you communicate with the Holy Spirit to the people of God. Or just those searching for answers, and you incorporate God. And I'm so grateful for that. And we've had conversations because you are truly there for everyone in your life. And we've both had challenges with anxiety. And I thank you for the company, for sending me the books, for praying with me. It truly is life-changing.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
So in matters of faith and mental health, what would you say is the biggest change that you pray for in your community?
I pray that more pastors get on board, you know, more ministers get on board, you know. I pray that, you know, we are the, to me, it shouldn't even be institutions or psychiatrists and therapists. We are the meat for God. We are the workers for him, and we should be the ones really providing things for our community, you know, especially those in our Christian communities and every community that need the help. So I pray, my prayer is that we can understand that, you know, talking is one thing, but action is another thing, and that there needs to be some action that need to be taken, and some things that need to be done, and that we could collaborate better as ministers, as Christians, as believers, you know, just helping everybody as a collective body. I think if we had that, it'll be a lot less of what we're going through.
I couldn't agree more. I think the Christian response to the mental health community is shockingly awful. Shockingly awful for us to be people of God. This is not what Jesus would have done.
Right.
Got to do better.
I agree. That is so great. You know, I was going to say, and you said it, but I was going to say, the Lord needs your mind. Mm-hmm. That you have a mind of implementation and intentionality. That's what we need in the kingdom of God. We need somebody who is forward thinking and ready to put things in place. And so when you said that you think more pastors should be on board, I'm definitely with you. Mm-hmm. I just recently got invited to be a part of a mental health literacy out here in Houston. And this is one of the biggest mental health programs in Houston, the Hope and Healing Center. Mm-hmm. Is
congratulations. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's backed by some former presidents and different people that has given and donated and a part of this board. And so I started off as a person that went through the program for mental health issues. Mm-hmm. And my story and my trajectory since then was so much that they asked me to be kind of like a poster child. And then God ordered my steps to now. They came to me several years later without me even thinking about it and asked me to be a part of the literacy board. So we'll start working on what we'll start defining what it looks like, what it is, trying to create policy around this. So we will continue to have a conversation, VV.
Good. Thank you. It's wonderful.
Got going on, and maybe you can counsel us or consult us or give us some insight, because some of the things that you're doing, that is definitely what we want to do. You are doing the housing side of it. I wanted to put like a mental health center in each and as many underserved communities as possible. As you know, the waiting list 6, 7, 8 months to get on, $200 an hour. Yeah. You know, even, you know, just to put some centers in where we can get some Christian psychologists, psychiatrists, counselors to come in and do some free work. They can have some free groups, even have some people come in and prescribe some medicines and or whatever. But we want to take mental health seriously. And I believe that the church should be a hub. You should go to the church for everything you need. And so I like your mind. And so definitely God didn't make a mistake. One quick thing I wanted to ask you, this was a great interview, by the way. what is, in the matters of faith and mental health, what's the biggest change that you pray for now?
The biggest change that I pray for is that those who are suffering from mental health truly, truly get the help that they need. That God put the right people in their place. Because like I said, everybody has some type of mental health. The way the world we live in right now, if you don't know God, it's the devil. Okay. If you don't know God, then the world is run by Satan. So my prayer is that we truly can help, you know, those who need the help the most and get in front of them and stop writing them off. Like stop, like the girls that I speak to, especially the women's that's homeless and anybody who has mental ill problems coming out of jail, because somebody stole a toothbrush, they gave them 6 months in jail for stealing a toothbrush because she had a prior misdemeanor. You know, when these people come out, somebody's there for them to tell them it's going to be okay. God has you. God has you through me. He has you because he's channeling himself through me, through us as the Christian family, to let you know we're going to get you back right, or at least we're going to attempt a try, especially if this is something you want to do. So my prayer is that those who's crying out for help, which is a lot of people are, that we get in front of them and we be that anchor for them. We be there for them.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So you have so many different mediums that you express your faith through. You have the authorship of you writing novels. You have your recording tracks that you have that are worshiping God and are circulating on radio. But I'm curious, when it comes to your own mental health, is there a particular practice that gives you the most relief or helps sustain you?
Yes, I, for my own mental health, I have to always find time for God. I sit down throughout the week, sometimes daily, but sometimes I could tell when I don't sit down with God, because you could feel it. You could feel like something is just not right. So for me, for my own mental health, I actually take private time alone, just me and God, and give him that time and worship him. And sometimes I even cry if something don't feel right, and talk with him and pray for other people, and just, you know, just outside the normal prayers and the normal helping, just personal relationship, really telling him what I feel. Even if I'm mad about something, he'll probably know it before anybody else. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's what grounds me. When I tell you the word of God, faith is the anchor, it really, really works. You know, it's the, and then I wake up the next day, I forgot what even happened the day that may have bothered me, because I remember the scripture that says, you know, give your anxiety, give it to God, throw it to him. And when I say I give it to God, I give it to him, I throw it to him, he takes it and he keeps it, and it releases me.
Cast your cares on the Lord. That's what the Lord is.
That's it. That's it. But you got to give him that time. If you can't give him that time, it's not going to work. You know, I don't care what you do, what you say. I don't care how busy you are. You have to put the Lord first, like, love him with your whole heart, soul, and mind. And when you do that and give him that time, then everything else, just like he said, seek the kingdom first. Everything else will be added, including relieving you mentally from the mental stress.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I want to ask you a question as we get ready to wind down this interview. And this is a question, you know, you can choose to answer it if you want. And we are a nonpartisan platform, if you would. But do you feel changes in your community and business because of the current political climate? And if so, how do you feel those things? I know Florida is its own animal. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I know
Florida,
right. And then, North Carolina.
You know, it's Texas too, you know. Okay, so I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna be honest and direct, and it's the truth. Absolutely, I think it's for us, and I'm gonna say people of color, okay, especially, there's definitely, I feel like a change for the worse, negative change to me. I just feel like the way they're cutting back, even now, they're getting ready to cut back on a Medicaid that helps the mentally challenged, and also some of the Medicaid that's getting cut, it's going to make things worse. And even what they're doing with Section 8, they know these people, a lot of them are mentally challenged or maybe low income. Now they're putting a stipulation, anybody who had it for 2 years have to move out. And I think this new administration has not been the best, you know, for this space that we're in. And I think that some change need to happen quick, or else it's going to get worse, and it's going to cause more issues for more people. So, you know, I don't want to, like, say get into the politics, but for me, what I'm seeing, all the cuts that's being made, we're trying to reach out to help more. They're trying to cut to make sure the help is not there. I think it is not the great political system for the mental health space right now. I think it's actually could be a lot better.
Yeah, when we talk about what's happening in the mental health community, it's not political. We honestly don't care who's president. We don't care what this administration looks like. We care about what resources are being provided and what resources are being taken away. And so quite frankly, what we're looking to do is be advocates for each other, because we know what it's like to deal and suffer through mental illness. And we want our people to be free. Exactly. We want all of our people to be free. So exactly. I appreciate your honesty on that. And again, we're not interested in making a political statement. We're interested in making a statement of love through the Christ Jesus.
A statement of love, but I want to be transparent. And Salvation Army, I went there last week, and mm-hmm. I was a little confused, and I asked some questions. I was like, why so many people, so many women sleeping outside? Mm-hmm. And I was told they don't have the resources. They said they didn't get the budget, the money to get the beds in, to bring them inside. So that's why. So that the money's not given, and the more cuts are being made. And it's something that I feel need to be looked at. And I'm so happy that Pastor said that he's going to be, you know, joining that community, you know, to see that, you know, some things transparent. So hopefully, but it's pretty bad, guys. I'm going to be honest, because I see it every day, because it's my line of work. You know, it's nothing. Yeah. Actually, they're cutting everything, cutting down even the peer support. They're cutting down, you know, anything behavior health. By quite a bit, because they're trying to get the budget right, but they're making the cuts in the areas that we need the most, though, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Amen.
Absolutely. So what I wanted to do is I was trying to get your information up. And so before we do that, I wanted you to let us know about your business and your programs. But before you do that, could you, well, you just asked that question, didn't you?
Yeah, I asked her about.
Okay, well, this is what I want you to do. Tell me, you've shared a lot about your Unity Support Network. But tell us something about your business and your program that only people will get a chance to know about if they experience it. It's one thing you like talking about it from the standpoint of the CEO and the chief communicator about it. Hey, come to this network. You're doing the teaching and the training. But from the standpoint of somebody who is a part of it, what will they receive? What will they get from your Unity Support Network?
And also, while you're explaining what they're going to receive, help us understand how we can support you.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for that. So when Unity Support Network, when a person comes to us, what they're going to receive is they're going to, first of all, receive some mental relief from us, because we're going to let them know that we're here to hold their hand from this day forward to get accomplished all the goals that they're trying to get accomplished as their peer. So, for example, somebody might come to us and say, hey, I need a job, you know, and I need housing, and my kids, they don't, you know, I'm tired of, you know, going from shelter to shelter. So we take that hand and we take that hand and we offer them, we find them, we try to do our best to find them employment. So we sit with them, we make sure they're ready, resume ready, we make sure they're interview ready. We actually find a job, even if they have a criminal record. We give them the jobs to go apply for. I may even call out, or we may call out and connect with companies and say, hey, we got a couple of people got some misdemeanors and some mild felonies. Would you be able to work with them? And, you know, so we get that on the list and we send them out to the job. Then what we do, we take that same person and we make sure they get on every housing list that they can. Like a lot of lists, like you said, the list wait is so long, but there's a lot of resources in a lot of different places. So, and if we could find housing, which we have, you know, we can, we will put them in the housing and make sure that they go into that housing. And that's our job. We give them all the resources. So what we do, we don't tell them like what a therapist would do or a psychiatrist would do, you know, how we say, we don't say, how was your day? That's not what we say. We say, we say, how can we help you is a difference. Yes. You know what I'm saying? What can we do for you today, right? Tell me your issue. So we make them write down their top three goals or what they need to get accomplished. And the peer support specialists take that person and they walk them through that those goals. And our goals is to stick with them until then we check off the box. Okay, Brenda got a job. Okay, we finally got her on 6 housing lists, but we're going to make sure she get housing. Okay, call us when you're getting anxiety and stress. Hey, I don't have a way to even get to the job interview. We provide that transportation or make sure they get that voucher, or we take them ourselves as a peer support specialist. We might have to take them to I don't have a way to get to my medication or my doctor. We go to them and we help them as your peer. Okay, no worries. I'm coming to get you. We're going to get you to that doctor. We're going to wait till you get out that doctor's appointment, and we're going to get you back home. We try to bring relief to their life, to their anxiety, to all the stresses that they're going through. The problem is that it's overwhelming. It's so many people that need this kind of help, right? So you got peer support agencies here and there, but it's not enough. And what we need, honestly, is always, there's always donations is always needed. I'm just going to tell you, especially when it comes to housing, right? I even applied for housing grants. They said I wasn't in business long enough to get it, you know, but donation is always needed in this space, because with donations, we can create housing. With donations, we could probably put that person in a house under the business name. We can get them something. Right. So we need donations. But in the meantime, because Medicaid does pay for some of the services, right? Some of it, right? Which is needed, but it don't take care of all of it. And like we all know, Medicaid is about to get cut down some, right? We all know that. Even not all of it. Some, and we know this is the field that will be affected by it. That's a definite, you know, that this field is getting negatively affected by it. So support we need. And then I just want to call out to Christians. If you see somebody that's mentally ill, you know, in your family, or even that, you know, somebody's having a problem, help them if you could. Now, when I say help them, I'm not saying to go and approach them and, you know, but just smile at them, let them know that, you know, you're there for them. You know, if there's a person that's begging for money because they want drug and alcohol, we see that. No, I'm not saying that. But what about that mother that got that child and they homeless because her husband just beat her up and she didn't have nowhere to go? And, you know, we just need to help where the help is needed. So I'm just giving a shout out to anybody that can help this space of people, because it's so needed. It is very, very, it's so needed to the point where I'm overwhelmed to see how much of it is out there, you know, really. Yes.
Let the record show, for every person that has such strong opinions about the demographics of those that are homeless and those that are living in poverty, this is a community of people that want to work, that want to be independent.
Yes.
That want to be healthy, that want to be free. Yes. And for this woman to come on to this platform and say, not only do they want the help, it's so many of them that want the help, I'm overwhelmed.
Yes.
The community of homelessness and those that are suffering through mental health, they do not need your critique. They need your support.
They need support.
They can be rehabilitated.
Amen.
They can be your neighbor that loves you just as much as you love them. Amen. They can be your neighbor that pays taxes, that pours into the community. We can be one family. Amen. But it does take for you to rebuke the spirit of superiority and give out a helping hand with the love of Christ.
Amen. Amen to that. Amen. Yes, that's so needed. Yeah, and I'm super excited, Pastor, about what you said. They're going to do mental health literacy, you said? Is that literacy?
Yes, advisory committee.
That is wonderful.
So yeah. Dr. Blewett is definitely in line with what we're trying to do. We want to shape policy here in Texas and use this as one of the platforms nationally.
National.
And so
dip it to North Carolina, to Charlotte, the Charlotte, North Carolina area.
Yeah, so connecting with organizations and people like you. I don't believe in happenstance or things happening for a reason. I believe that God puts things together.
Amen.
And so it's, I believe that you two met when you two met for such a time as this.
Amen. Jasmine got to tell you what I envisioned for her when she, we did meet. I always encourage Jasmine. She's going right where she's supposed to be going. Amen.
That's a fact.
We are living what we talked about in in that corporate America hallway. We're living what we talked about. It's so funny. She told me she wanted to live for Christ and minister, and she was going to go to Bible college. And I said, I want to stand up for the mental health community and help people. And look at us. You're looking.
She's an apologist, like she went and to Bible college.
Yes.
Faith and everything, scripture and everything.
I know, so beautiful. I'm very, very proud of her and very happy for her. And she's an advocate. You know, we're about to go as financial advisor, we're about to go to Washington, D.C. to grab that money for mental health. And Jasmine was leading that thing, you know? Jasmine, yeah, we just like we go to Washington D.C. We ain't playing, you know. But that's how much it's needed, you know. I mean, we're in a different dynamic now. Y'all know that under this administration, it's just everything is a little different. We're trying to mentally grasp this thing. Every time you turn around, it's like something. And I'm like, oh no. But the truth is, they're really not focusing on our community. We know that, especially the mental health community. Our community, period, but especially the mental health community and, the behavior health and anybody getting out of jail and anybody who needed the help to try to get their life started again. This administration, I think the way they're cutting stuff is just not, you know, it's not going to help us. It's going to hurt us. It's going to hurt us.
Yeah. So any last words for our mental health warriors that you'd love to leave with our community? Because we want to make sure that you feel supported and we want to hear from you.
Well, thank you. I want to, first of all, thank you for having me on this podcast. And I just want to say, remember the second commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself. Because when you love your neighbor as yourself, it's going to be natural for you to help anybody. And who need the help the most is definitely in the, mentally challenged and those who've gone through a lot of issues and problems. And a lot of times it's not because of drug and alcoholic, alcohol or anything like that. It's just because they truly need the help. They truly need the help. Because of their circumstances and their position in life. And that's where we come in as Christians. We give the help. We're called for the calling. And the calling is to love thy neighbor as thyself, the second greatest command, right? Love God first. However, we need more of us to do it. So please support this area because it's so needed. Support the pastors and the churches when it comes to mental health, especially, but in every aspect. So I just want to say again, God is with us. If we do the work, we could expect nothing but blessings. Anyone who reaches out to help others will be blessed, especially if you're doing it from a pure heart. God loves us. He loves you. And he wants us to live a nice, happy, peaceful life on this earth. And helping others is taking a step towards doing that.
Amen.
Well, listen, for everybody out there that's watching this podcast, if you want to support our sister Vivi, go to unitysupportnetwork.com. It's on the screen. See how you can get involved. If you're in a local community, contact her, email her, send donations. She let us know what she needs. Pray for her. If you are a person that has a similar mission and vision in your heart, you might want to go and work for her. Work alongside with her. Collaborate.
Please reach out. I'm happy to help anybody in this space. I would appreciate that.
Amen, amen. And we definitely will be collaborating with you in the very near future, figuring out how we can make our two lands closer.
Yes.
And with the gift of technology and with the Holy Spirit, I don't think there's anything that we can't conquer because we're more than conquerors. Jasmine, our programmer and leader, is there anything you'd like to say?
Leader?
Yes. This is another thing. So, a lot of people are so humble. And they know they're running the show, but they're like, that's crazy. Okay. That's okay.
Thank you, woman of God.
I just appreciate this time. I thank you so much. But yeah, Jasmine's a humble heart, you know, and that's the way God wants us to stay humble. Mm-hmm.
God is good. Yeah. I thank you, woman of God, for putting the faith on your back, for going out there in the streets, for making it happen. For people that can't do it on their own, God bless you. You are anointed. You are anointed. May the Holy Spirit continue to uplift you and give you peace and prosperity in this time that you have dedicated to the Most High and His people in the kingdom. We love you.
Thank you. Well, I love you guys, and I want to thank you so much for having me on, and may God continue to bless your path and bless you. And I love everyone who's watching. May God continue to bless your path as well.
Absolutely. We bless you, Mental Health Warriors. Thank you for your time, and have a great week.
Thank you. God bless. Take care. Bless.
Welcome to Unplug Podcast, where Jesus is at the center of every conversation. Join us as we explore the teachings of Christ and the impact on mental health, spirituality, and everyday life. Discover how faith in Jesus can help provide hope, healing, and purpose in a world full of challenges. Subscribe now on YouTube and your favorite podcast platforms to stay connected to the Unplug community. Unplug from the world and plug into Jesus.